Aloha. Welcome to Island Issues, our weekly public affairs program about Hawaii Island's people, issues, and concerns. Now, here's your host, Sherry Bracken.
Aloha. Welcome to Island Issues. We're here on the radio every Sunday morning at 6:30 a.m. on Koa Country, 107.7 FM, and at 8 a.m. on Lava 105.3 FM. You may also listen online to the podcast at lava1053.com or at koacountry1077.com. Just click on Island Issues and then on the Island Issues microphone. Today, we continue our look at our island's three major hospitals. Previously, we spoke with Jay Cruiser of Kona Community Hospital, and in future weeks, we'll talk with Dan Brinkman of Hilo Medical Center. Today, I am delighted to welcome the folks from North Hawaii Community Hospital, which is located in Waimea. Cindy Kamakawa has been president since 2016. Previously, she was the chief nursing officer at the Queen's Medical Center on Oahu. Ms. Kamakawa got her nursing degree from the University of San Francisco and her master's plus PhD studies at UH Manoa. Aloha, Cindy.
Aloha.
Thank you so much for being here. We're also joined by the president and chief executive officer from Queens Health Systems and Queens Medical Center on Oahu, Art Ushijima. Mr. Ushijima has held one or both positions since 1993. He held a similar position with Akron General Medical Center in Ohio and various positions with other hospitals and before that for Air Force hospitals. He was educated at Cornell and got his master's in hospital and health administration from the University of Iowa. Good morning. Aloha, Art.
Aloha. Thank you.
North Hawaii Community Hospital, I'd like to start with how big, what are its capabilities, how many beds, how many patients? Cindy, I'm imagining that question is for you.
Yes, that would be correct. We're licensed for 35 beds, and that includes our family birthing unit, and we have in that unit five what we refer to as LDRPs, labor, delivery, recover, and postpartum. So you actually stay in the same room for your stay. Then we also have med-surg beds, and we have the capability of doing some heart monitoring in those beds. And then we have four intensive care unit beds. And in addition to that, we have six ER rooms and also four OR rooms.
How many patients roughly do you treat in a year?
So as far as for admissions, we see about 150 a month. There are a variety of patients from medical issues to surgical procedures that they've had done. And we also see them coming in through our ER or as for elective cases.
Does North Hawaii Community Hospital have a psychiatric ward?
No, we do not.
How about long-term care? Do you do that there?
No, we do not.
Okay. Well, there's other facilities on the island. I just wanted to make sure folks understood what's available. Art Ushijima, what is Queens Health System?
We're a multi-hospital system, but we're also comprised of other services as well. So there are four hospitals that are part of Queens today, the Queens Health Systems. There's the Queens Medical Center on Punchbowl Street in Oahu and Honolulu. There's the Queens Medical Center West Oahu, Molokai General Hospital, and North Hawaii Community Hospital. Another major part of the delivery system is Diagnostic Laboratory Services, which is a joint venture between Queens and Kuakini Medical Center. We also provide home care services through Care Resource Hawaii, and that's also another joint venture between Queens and Kuakini. There is also a non-healthcare component, but an important part of our assets, and that is the Quinama Land Company, which oversees the real estate assets of Queens. And the most notable piece of real estate, of course, is in Waikiki, the international marketplace, of course, being the most visible. We have about 7,000 employees across the enterprise and about 1,600 physicians who are part of the Queens Health Systems, most of whom are in private practices.
Where does the name Queens come from?
It was, the Queens Medical Center actually was established as the Queens Hospital in 1859 by Queen Emma and King Kamehameha IV. And so in honor of the Queen, who was instrumental in leading the effort to create the hospital, to establish the hospital, King Kamehameha IV, her husband, named it the Queen's Hospital. And so it has been named the Queen's Hospital in 1859. Actually, the cornerstone was laid on July 17, 1860. And then later on, somewhere around 1970-ish, then the name was changed to the Queen's Medical Center. And then eventually the parent company was formed. It was called then the Queens Health Systems. So Queens has been in operation, the Queens Medical Center, since July 17, 1860, and continue to be and operate 24/7 since that time.
That's quite a long history.
Yeah, a long time.
Impressive. I went to a community meeting that you all held in Waimea, and one of the things, Art, that you spoke about was the mission of Queens. Share that with us, please.
Okay. So the mission statement has evolved over the years, but it's essentially unchanged in terms of its focus and intent. As you know, the Queens Hospital was established to save the Navajo people who were dying of illness and disease. And when the hospital was founded, there were about 70,000 Native Hawaiians, down from a population estimated to be in excess of 300,000. And so the Queens was established to save the Hawaiian people. And the mission statement says to fulfill the intent of Queen Emma and King Kamehameha IV to provide in perpetuity quality health care services to improve the well-being of Native Hawaiians and all the people of Hawaii. And it's important to understand that the mission statement is, in fact, very inclusive. It's about saving the Native and serving the Native Hawaiian people, but also everyone else. And the reason for that is that when the king was a young prince, he had the opportunity to travel across the continental U.S., and he did experience the prejudice of the black man, did not like it. So when the hospital was established, it was their values and their philosophy that the hospital would serve everyone.
That's important, particularly because Queens is the largest health facility that we have in the state. Interesting, because during the Waimea community meeting, a couple of people asked whether Queens did not, in fact, have a mission to serve at no charge all Native Hawaiian people. What's your comment on that?
So there isn't a statement in the Queens will or the charter of the hospital that says Native Hawaiians will be served free of charge. However, you know, the policy of the hospital is that we will serve everyone regardless of their ability to pay. And so there's always been a charitable component to Queens. And part of the response that I also made at the Waimea Town Hall was that in Hawaii, you know, due to the Prepaid Health Care Act that was enacted in 1974, you know, employers must provide health insurance for employees who work 20 hours or more per week. And so almost 95% of the Hawaii population is covered by some form of insurance, either through a commercial carrier, Medicare, or Medicaid. And so Hawaii has, in fact, been very progressive in providing health care services. And for those who do not or do not have the ability to pay, then there is a charitable policy that we provide as well for those who cannot afford health care services.
Well, I'm pretty sure that nationally people who go to emergency rooms, for example, for emergency treatment, will never be turned away from any hospital. I mean, if you are getting any federal reimbursement, mm-hmm. which every hospital is, that is the national policy.
That's true.
Okay, good. What is the exact relationship of North Hawaii Community Hospital to Queens Health System, please?
North Hawaii Community Hospital is an affiliate, a subsidiary of the Queens Health Systems. The way we're legally organized is that the Queens Health Systems is the parent company. And the Queens Medical Center, North Hawaii Community Hospital, Molokai General Hospital are subsidiary companies.
So you essentially, Queens owns North Hawaii Community Hospital.
That's correct. In the not-for-profit language, Queens is the Queens Health System is the member of North Hawaii Community Hospital.
Why did Queens decide to take over North Hawaii Community Hospital, which I understand had been struggling financially for quite a number of years? I mean, losing several millions a year for many years. Why did Queens decide to jump into North Hawaii?
We were approached by the board of North Hawaii Community Hospital for the affiliation between Queens and North Hawaii. When we undertake a major initiative, what we first review and we apply is the mission template. Does this initiative fit within the mission of Queens? North Hawaii Community Hospital serves a population of approximately 30,000 people in the immediate service area, and roughly a third of that population is Native Hawaiians. And so we felt that that fit the mission of the Queens Health Systems, and so we then undertook the due diligence and said, do we think we can make this work? And the conclusion was yes, and so we undertook the affiliation.
To me, that sounds like a pretty bold step, given that North Hawaii was known to have been losing several million dollars a year. how did you rationalize the financial aspects of it?
Well, you know, like any undertaking, first, everything becomes more challenging as time goes on. But in any event, we felt that it was important enough of an organization and hospital that serves a significant community that we felt an obligation to assess whether we could undertake it. We looked at our referrals from the Big Island and saw that we had about 1,900 patients annually who come from the Big Island to Queens. And so we felt that there was really the opportunity to better serve that population. And the North Hawaii Community Hospital gave us the opportunity to create a platform to serve the Big Island. Then we assessed, you know, whether we could financially manage this, and we felt that we could. And we undertook this, although I would have to say it was a bigger financial challenge and other challenges like any rural hospital has when we undertook this.
Well, that's when you talk about rural hospitals, actually one thing that I was surprised at when my MAAC Community Association had that meeting, I think it was Dr. Goldberg on your team who mentioned that several hospitals, which are quite well known, such as Brigham and Women's and the MD Anderson Cancer Center, had actually laid off staff or had to significantly cut expenses. So I think it's not just rural hospitals that are having financial challenges these days.
Well, all health systems, you know, more... many health systems across the country are certainly experiencing the impact of the Affordable Care Act and all the investments that have to be made. Rural hospitals are particularly challenged just because they don't have the scale, the size that larger systems do. In the case of MD Anderson and in some of the other systems, their challenges have been really compounded by the fact that, or have been really created by the fact that they've made significant investments in information technology, which has really caused a huge impact on the financials. We have the same experience at Queens as well.
Well, all of the hospitals, I believe, are, I think even all doctors, are supposed to be on the electronic medical record system. And I know that's an expense whenever it's implemented. Kaiser has it, and I happen to be a Kaiser patient, and I love it. And I know that it's important, though, for doctors to be able to communicate across platforms.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
So financially, North Hawaii was not doing well. Queens took over. On day one, did you have to put money into North Hawaii Community Hospital?
By the time we took over North Hawaii, the financials had deteriorated. And so one of the first things we had to do was infuse $800,000 of cash in order for the hospital to continue to make payroll and also pay its bills.
And when was that?
January 2014.
So since then, how is North Hawaii Community Hospital doing financially?
I'll answer the first piece, and then Cindy can talk about things that they're doing. Initially, we've had to go through a whole resizing and reorganization of North Hawaii, and that has impact in terms of financial performance. We've also had to make significant investments, such as physician recruitment, and also we've had to improve the operations and make investments in equipment and capital facilities. The roof was leaking, those kinds of things, all require capital and cash. And so we had to work through all of that, and, oh, by the way, we also had to invest in electronic medical records. Okay, so we had to implement that as well. So that had an impact on the financial. So we had all of these startup costs that really impacted the financial performance of the hospital. Going through all of that now. So Cindy's job, and she's done a great job, by the way, of really focusing and turning around that hospital, both in terms of improving quality of service, the quality of care, recruitment of physicians, recruitment of staff, reorganization of the management team. And so we feel we're now in an upward trajectory.
That's really good news. And, you know, the fact is our island has three hospitals and they are not that close to each other, so it's kind of a challenge if somebody had to go from Waimea to Hilo or Kona if they had something that was fairly serious. And also, people like to be as close to home as possible when they're sick. So I think the general consensus would have to be thank you for taking over the hospital and making sure the hospital could continue to survive. Because when you're losing several million dollars a year, that is not a bright future. Cindy, you're the chief executive officer. Are you yet in a position of actually not losing money, or are you still losing money? And just give us a little information on that.
we're on the right path, and definitely the financials are looking much better than they did a year ago. And it really has to do with controlling the cost and also growing the business, really focusing on stabilizing our medical staff and being able to offer to the community those specialties that they need in their area, as you speak about, but also too looking at as far as the expenses of the organization, whether it's supplies or FTEs, the number of individuals.
What's an FTE?
Sorry, that's the number of employees that we have. And so looking at the different areas of expenses and then also looking at our revenue and how we can improve on that. And all of those have seen improvement over the last year.
So are you still losing money? And if so, how much on a yearly basis, if you're willing to share?
This last month, we just started a new fiscal year, July 1. And this last month, we were pretty close to break even. So we're kind of on
for the month.
For the month.
How about for last year?
Last year, we did end up with a loss, yes.
Of how much?
Multi-million. Yep.
Okay. Aren't you still hanging in there?
Yes.
I'm sure you know this without Cindy mentioning it again. And a brief interruption to remind you, this is Island Issues, and I'm Sherry Bracken. And we're here every Sunday morning, 6:30 a.m. Koa Country 107.7 FM, and at 8 a.m. on Lava 105.3 FM on Hawaii Island. And then we post the interviews as podcasts online at lava1053.com and at koacountry1077.com. Today, we're in part one of a two-part discussion with the folks from North Hawaii Community Hospital, which includes the CEO, Cindy Kamakaua, and Art Ushijima of Queens Health Systems, which owns North Hawaii Community Hospital. And I have to say, one of the things that I enjoyed about this discussion is that it was partly all about North Hawaii Community Hospital, but also about the future of healthcare and more philosophical in nature. And I think that's a helpful discussion for us on this island to begin to talk about. Next Sunday, we air part two of our conversation with Cindy Kamakaua and Art Ushijima. And then Sunday, October 8th, we begin our discussions about Hilo Medical Center with their CEO, Dan Brinkman. Let's get back to Cindy and Art. Let's get back to our conversation with Cindy Kamakaua and Art Ushijima. How many employees do you have at North Hawaii Community Hospital?
It is a moving target. It's around about 318.
Okay. Yeah. I understand there were some layoffs. Is that true?
Yes, that is true. There were five individuals that were impacted by the layoffs, and those decisions were made based on the work that needed to be done or had changed because of technology or the new electronic medical record or maybe some change in our systems. Three of those employees actually applied and got jobs at North Hawaii that were open. So they always had the opportunity to apply for other positions.
So you laid off five and hired three back?
Yeah. They just transferred into new positions.
Cool. Yeah. Very good. One of the concerns I've heard expressed to me is that sometimes hourly employees will show up for their work day and be told, go home, we don't need you, which, of course, for somebody who depends on that money to support their family is an issue. Is that happening or is that not happening?
One of the areas that I'm very familiar with my previous role is really organizing the hospital so that we have the right number of employees based on the number of patients coming in that day. And so that does mean that we do fluctuate staff based on the number of patients. That was something relatively new to North Hawaii, and it is something that is done on a day-to-day basis. Our med-surg unit has the capacity of 28 beds. It runs an average daily census of 15. So I bring in a different number of nurses when I have a census of 15 versus 28.
But they don't know till the morning they show up for work?
No, we call them before. And also, too, we ask people if they'd like to take time off. We definitely ask for volunteers first. And also, since we all are a small organization, one thing that is, I think, unique about us is that there are multiple areas that our staff can work in. And so they can shift from different departments. Recently, our oncology area was busy, so a unit secretary who was not needed in the med-surg unit went over and helped them out because they needed help because they had an ill call. So we do definitely look at the work that's available in the whole organization.
Does that present any problems with employee stability or longevity if folks are being told when they show up for work, we don't really need you? I mean, that would be tough for me.
I think, yes, it could if it was happening on a long-term basis. And so with an organization, you're looking at as far as how do you then manage our different seasonalities. We get quite busy in our winter months from about November to February. So then we look at bringing in additional staff for that time period, maybe on a temporary basis. And also, too, we will grant more vacations over the summertime because we know that our census will be down, you know, lower than it usually is. And also looking at as far as when a person is hired, setting forth that expectation and training them so they can work in multiple areas. And that then benefits the organization and also benefits the employee.
One of the things that I think is a good thing to talk about is the general future of healthcare on Hawaii Island. And Queens is, I will call you the big dog in the play yard. I'm not sure if that's actually true, but you do seem to be the biggest healthcare provider. We have three hospitals on this island. Today, our population is around 200,000. The state is forecasting that the Hawaii Island population by 2040, which is only 23 years from now, will be close to 300,000. And we have our three major hospitals. We also have Kau Hospital, Kohala Hospital, Hale Ho'ola Hamakua, and Honoka'a, which are affiliated with the other two hospitals, not with North Hawaii Community Hospital. And I know that the hospitals are fairly separate, but there are collaborations that you do work with the other hospitals. But one of the things that happens today is many people have to go off island. I'm surprised, Art, to hear you say it's as few as 1,900 a year that come from Hawaii Island, but sometimes go off island just for fairly routine things like hip replacement or urology or gallbladder surgery or whatever it happens to be. Not that it's not possible to be done here on the island, because there are surgeries here on the island, but as we get bigger and understanding who we are on this island, I'd like to hear your educated thinking about what Hawaii Island should be looking at in the future as far as healthcare, relative particularly to the hospitals, the large ones, their smaller affiliates, clinics. I mean, is it possible to develop systems here on the island so that folks can stay here? I know when Banner Health Systems was considering looking at Kona Hospital, they were talking about the possibility of eventually joining all hospitals together, having more sharing, keeping more of the work here. What do you guys think, Art?
Well, you know, the direction of healthcare is to really develop services more on an outpatient basis and to really try to minimize as much as possible the admission of patients as inpatients. Now, having said that, you know, the Big Island presents unique challenges. This is a huge geographic region. Essentially three major population centers that have significant geographic separation.
And the other thing that I didn't mention, it costs us money, costs everybody money when you have to fly to Oahu,
right.
Not to mention the hassle factor. You know, you fly over, you spend money. If you do have surgery over there and you have to come back, you're flying on a plane. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's probably worse than a hospital
for
germs.
Yeah, you know, I mean, the challenge is that, you know, for 300,000 people, there's a certain level of service that you can provide in any community, and whether that's on Oahu or whether that's on the Big Island. So what you're really trying to do is provide services that match the population. And healthcare, and certainly hospitals, do function on the basis of scale. So the more you can provide a given service, the more cost-effective you can provide, but you can also provide better quality. Having said that, whether it's 200,000, 300,000 people, there will always be services that can't be provided on the Big Island, just as much as there are services on Oahu that can't be provided just because, again, the population of the state isn't enough. So there are folks, there are patients who, with the resources, could go to places like MD Anderson, for example, for very novel treatments. And so when we look at the nature of the Big Island, and assuming the growth is accurate, that the forecast is accurate, then what is it that we can do in terms of regionalizing services? We have not yet had that discussion as a healthcare community in terms of how you can regionalize services. Can you concentrate services, for example, in orthopedics at North Hawaii Community Hospital? Can we concentrate cancer care, for example, at Kona Community Hospital? Those are the kinds of things that we have yet to discuss, but that's probably sort of a next level of discussion. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to be in one system, but you have to have collaborations among the hospital systems. you know, when we came to North Hawaii, you know, we came by invitation. And we were asked, and we also went to the community and said, do you want Queens to be on this island? And, of course, we came as a result of the response from the community. And at that moment, our focus was to really run a very good community general hospital. Given the size and the nature and the scope of service that we could provide is really around general acute care services. As we start to look at the broader market of the Big Island and can we really look at regionalizing services, you know, I think that's another level of discussion that we would have with Kona and Hilo and the others. Also, we need to understand, too, that where healthcare is going is to how many of the services or how much of the services can be provided on an outpatient basis. And do we have and can we develop ambulatory or outpatient service sites, whether it's primary care or imaging services or surgical services? Those are things that could be considered. What may be difficult to provide, and this is where the transport from the Big Island to Oahu, is you have to look at, can you provide a service cost-effectively with good quality, good efficiency, and expertise on the Big Island? And if you don't have the scale, if you don't have the volume, then it's probably not going to be feasible. But generally, you know, you can meet most of the needs, right? Primary care and secondary level care on the Big Island. When I said 1,900 patients, these are 1,900 patients that were referred from the Big Island to Queens. There are others. And of course, there are also services individual patients seek either by choice or by necessity will go to Oahu.
And North Hawaii is unique from the standpoint of that 60% of our organization is actually providing care in all of our different clinics. We have an orthopedic clinic, we have a women's health clinic, we have primary care. We're opening up a wound clinic in the next year. We're expanding orthopedics. We're also looking at, actually this month, bringing on a cardiologist. And of course, our flagship is that primary care clinic, which is our busiest. So it's really that focus of having that access for the community, and then those physicians also then can serve the inpatients too. So it's been a model that I think will serve the community well. And also looking at, with our relationship with the Queens Healthcare System, on how we can have specialists come over on an as-needed basis, such as the urologist, or doing innovation with telemedicine. We've been doing telestroke now for 2 years, and we're going to be moving into telepsychiatry actually probably within the next 6 months. So really looking at what are the needs of the population and how can we serve them.
You know, you mentioned, Art, that the discussion really hasn't been held yet. Is this something that you and the heads of other hospitals, including Hawaii Health Systems Corporation, which owns the other two hospitals, Hilo Medical Center and Kona Community Hospital, is this something that you think might happen? Because it feels like planning for the future would be a great idea, because I think that the population of Oahu will probably grow faster than the population of the Big Island. And even right now, if there's not a bed available at Queens, somebody can't go. Mm-hmm. They're stuck here until a bed is available.
Right.
And I bet that's going to get to be a more dire situation as your population on Oahu grows. Right.
I can say that we've had some informal conversations with Kona, and they're the logical, one of the logical hospitals to work with just because of our proximity. But also, you know, we have, in the radiation therapy department at Kona Community Hospital, Dr. Scott Moon is actually a Queens employee who is cited under a contract with Kona Community Hospital. So you start these relationships, right, step by step. Where does it make sense? And fortunately, Dr. Moon wanted to come to Kona, and we had the opportunity to create that for him. And so I think those things start to then generate other initiatives for consideration. But certainly in the area of cancer, that would be an opportunity there. In the longer term, does it mean that the organizations will come together? That's a little premature to talk about at this stage. But certainly, I think what we're going to be seeing is just regional systems or affiliations and networks, because no one organization can provide all the services, particularly when you're looking at the geography of the Big Island.
Yeah, the geography is complicated. is the future and the vision of healthcare, is that something that you might at some point involve the community in? I don't know that people in the community would have the expertise to give you fabulous ideas, but I bet they'd like to talk about it just so we're all moving together in the thought process. Because a lot of people leave this island, I mm-hmm. believe, as they get older because they think they will not be able to get care, and maybe that's not a good decision.
Well, you know, I think the role of consumerism, right, especially in healthcare, I think is emerging in a significant way. And you see it in terms of social media. You see it in terms of just in publications and certainly what you're doing right now with your radio program. And I think what healthcare organizations are doing more and more of is trying to understand what the needs of the consumer is and what the needs are, rather. And so we're trying to understand those needs. And what we're really also trying to do is to intervene as early as possible. Because by the time an individual becomes a hospital patient, typically it means that there are a number of things that they did not do or should have done, and now they become an inpatient. And that's really the most expensive, that's also the most difficult phase for providing healthcare services. And we're also, for example, on Oahu, we're working with one of the high schools on diabetes and trying to intervene early enough because diabetes is a significant problem among the adolescents already.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's awful. Because diabetes, I think, is one of the very worst diseases and least understood. I mean, people relate when you say, oh, heart attack, stroke, but diabetes is subtle.
Right. And so what it means is that if we're going to impact healthcare, at some point we've got to get into the early stages and really dealing with the younger folks. By the time they're my age, it's too late. So.
Well, you know, Art and Cindy, the other thing about the public and public input, in our state, as you know, for example, the state legislature has to approve a hospital even discussing becoming a partner with another hospital. And the State Department of Health has to approve if you want to add rooms, add beds, expand. And I think sometimes public input, particularly with the legislature, can be helpful. Cindy, you know, we're talking about longer-term visions. Mm-hmm. You came from Oahu, and yes. You're here now. Do you see North Hawaii Community Hospital as your home for a long time, or are you going to go back to Oahu soon?
I'm loving working at North Hawaii. Back in the 90s, my husband and I built a house here in Waimea, and I'm 10 minutes down the road from the hospital, and I have really enjoyed it. And so right now, I don't have any plans in the future to leave, so definitely will be here.
Is your husband here on the island? Does he work on Oahu? What's his situation?
He actually is retired, so he commutes back and forth.
Nice.
Yeah.
Retired from what?
He's a carpenter by trade. That's why we were able to build our house.
How convenient. Yeah. I'll be calling. Is there anything else you want to add about future? Because I want to go back and ask some specifics about North Hawaii. Anything?
No, we're good.
Cindy, anything you want to add?
Nope.
And with that, we're going to pause our conversation and resume it again next Sunday morning with Art Ushijima from Queens Medical Center and Cindy Kamakawa from North Hawaii Community Hospital. This is Island Issues. I'm Sherry Bracken. Until next Sunday morning, please, let's all live and drive with aloha. Ahui ho.
Thank you for listening to Island Issues. We welcome your comments and suggestions. Email us, info@lava1053.com. Join us again next week for another edition of Island Issues, a service of Hawaii Islands Mahalo Multimedia.